Good morning. It's a Monday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Chartok. Alan, for the first time in 12 years, Israelis this morning woke up to a new government, a new prime minister, after Naftali Bennett secured the backing of parliament and ousted longtime leader Benjamin Netanyahu from the AP under a coalition agreement. Bennett will hold office of the premier for the first 2 years of the term, and then Foreign Minister Yair Lapid, the architect of the coalition, will become prime minister. Your thoughts this morning? We didn't know what was going to happen with Netanyahu. Now we do.
We do. Look, first of all, he says he's going to stay in command of Likud and that he will kick the other guys out and he will be back. In the meantime, he faces criminal charges. This is a long, long-ranging affair, and we don't know what's going to happen with that. But it must have been an extraordinary situation where everybody from the far left to the far right got together in order to have this coalition. The fact that Bennett and the right wing seem to have prevailed in this is probably the only way this was going to happen, because the Israeli people are concerned about the potential for Arab hostility. And whether people on the outside agree with it, the Israelis themselves have been electing Netanyahu pretty well on the basis of his attestment that he will protect them. So now we'll see whether this thing can hold together. According to Netanyahu, it cannot. And of course, the Israelis have ways of saying, okay, I'll run the country for the first 2 years and somebody else will run it after that. That didn't happen the last time Netanyahu said it was going to happen, and it may not happen again. So it's going to be fragile, and they're going to have to figure out how to do this without changing the way in which the Israeli government functions. This is going to be a very interesting thing to watch.
Speaking of, we've been watching President Biden rekindling old ties with our allies. He was with the G7 leaders on Sunday as he's set to make his entrance at the NATO summit today. And yesterday, his fellow Western leaders, along with the president, issued a confrontational declaration about Russian and Chinese government behavior, castigating Beijing over its internal repression, vowing to investigate the pandemic's origin and excoriating Moscow for using nerve agents and cyber weapons. They didn't agree on everything. There are some issues over certain things, but certainly when it comes to China and Russia, they seem to have a united front.
I think that that's probably true. There's also the matter of how to get out of Afghanistan, because remember that the allies are there too, and they're looking at the United States for instructions on what to do. So there are a lot of things that are forcing the allies to adhere to each other with a potential lead for the United States. And there is palpable relief that Trump is gone. So we'll see whether or not this holds up. It's interesting because Macron of France seems to be playing a lead role in all of this. And now we'll have to see what happens between Biden and Putin as they get together. Now, my sense of it is that Biden isn't going to take any prisoners. He's going to make it clear that he's going to be tough on Putin, because with Putin, nothing means an awful lot. He says that he's going to be a partner, but, you know, with a Soviet-like dictator, and that's what he is. He comes right out of the Soviet Union, where he was a colonel in the KGB. One's attestations and one's words don't mean all that much.
And there's one country that's watching this coming meeting between Putin and Biden very closely, and that's Ukraine.
Well, yeah, obviously, the United States has tried to help with Ukraine, tried to help with its war with Russia, but Ukraine is tiny and Russia has extraordinary resources. So the United States' role here is going to prove to be very, very important and crucial, in fact. And I'm sure when Putin and Biden speak, that's going to be on the table.
Another tricky ally, Turkey, Alan. President Joe Biden and Turkish counterpart Recep Tayyip Erdogan, known each other for years, says the AP, but their meeting today will be their first as heads of state. It comes at a particularly tense moment for relations between the two countries. The list of disagreements is unusually long for the two NATO allies. There's U.S. support for Kurdish fighters in Syria, as well as Turkey's purchase of a Russian weapons system. Biden also infuriated Ankara by declaring that the Ottoman-era mass killing and deportation of Armenians was genocide. So those are some particular disagreements.
Well, that has been the major focus on the table, in which Turkey decides who its friends and neighbors are and who is against them. the fact that it was clear that there was genocide there and Turkey was responsible for that doesn't make for good relationships between the two countries. But if there's one thing that we do see here is that there is no fear on Biden's part for saying what's real.
What do you make of, I don't know if you saw this, Alan, Representative Tom Rice of South Carolina, he's a Republican. He said he didn't take an oath to defend Trump. He's out defending himself now, of course, because people are primarying him. But one small profile in courage?
Yes, David, it's a profile in courage. This is a guy who's an arch conservative who has been backing Trump for years on virtually everything that Trump does. But when it came to whether or not Trump should be impeached, he voted yay. And that, of course, means that he's in real trouble with his pro-Trump Republican constituents. And we'll have to see if he survives. But if he doesn't survive, the one thing we know is that when he needed to be there in American history, he was. And that, of course, will serve him well in history, if not to preserve his office. Because we do know that he's getting an awful lot of hell from some of the Trumpians in his South Carolina district who are so adamantly for the ex-president that it's hard to believe that this one congressman can survive.
Our political observer, Alan Chartok, with us on a Monday. Get to work.
Everybody, here we go again.